thank you for following along as it was the first chapter of the book of Ruth was read. Thank you, Brother Rusty, Sister Rhonda, for being with us tonight, and thank you for sharing what God is doing in your life and in your ministry. Well, we've been in the book of Ruth now for a couple of weeks, and I want to add a third part. We've talked, first of all, about the primary interpretation of the book, and we talked about the story itself. The book of Ruth is a tremendous story in the Word of God, and it just tells us about love and redemption. It tells us about God's providence and God's sovereignty. It tells us about how that God will forgive and God will supply. It's just a wonderful, wonderful account in the Scripture. And then last week we took some time and went over the prophetic revelation. We took the story as a whole, and we talked about the types and how that they fit in the book of Ruth, and how that Boaz is a picture of Jesus, and Naomi of the remnant of Israel that returns to the land. And we tried to show some truths that that I believe is in all the Scripture. I believe that all the Scripture has a primary interpretation, one interpretation, and then there is a prophetic revelation. But tonight what I'd like to do is talk about that third aspect of it, and that is application. You know, you can do a lot of things with Scripture, but if you don't make personal application of the Scripture, well, you just have a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. And the Bible says that we need to be more than hearers of the Word of God. Now, we do need to be hearers, but we need to be more than hearers. We need to be doers of the Word. And so in order to do that, then we've got to make some practical application, and that's what I want to do out of really the entire book, but I'm just going to stay in chapter 1. We just want to give you some application. I want to give you some good practical application. And so I thought in order to do that, I want to talk to you about decisions. When I look at the book of Ruth, I really think that the book of Ruth is a book of decisions. There are all kinds of people in the book of Ruth making decisions. You know, someone has said that we are the sum total of our decisions. Decisions are very important. Today, you have probably made dozens of decisions, maybe hundreds of decisions. Sometimes we make decisions and we don't even think about decisions that we're making. And so I want to talk to you about decisions. I want to say a few things about decisions out of this first chapter. In the first chapter of the book of Ruth, I mean, there are just dozens of decisions that determine the remainder of the book. Just like there's dozens of decisions in your lives, and I trust that when you make decisions that you will think them through, because decisions determine destiny. And sometimes we don't even think, and we just kind of make decisions on the fly, and we don't pray about decisions, we don't really ponder, and we don't get counsel about the decisions that we make. We just fly out and we just do whatever seems right. Well, I want to tell you, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so it's very important to understand that decisions have consequences. And so I want to talk to you. The first thing that I want to say about is I look at the book of Ruth, and I hope you'll write this down. If not, try to remember it. But if you're like me, you'll need to write it down. Number one, I want to talk to you about a willing choice. I'm glad that God made us people who have a free will and we can choose. Amen. You get to choose. When I read the first chapter in particular, but really throughout the book of Ruth, I see choice after choice after choice after choice. May not agree with the choices, may agree with the choices. But I see just choices being made, decisions being made. I see Elimelech making a decision. The Bible says in verse number 2, there was a man named Elimelech, and the name of his wife. He made a choice to get married. His name means God is my king. He made a choice. We talk about it all the time. I've told you over and over again, I believe there's three major choices. Now, there's certainly many more, but you need to determine who you're going to worship. I think Elimelech had made that choice. You need to determine who you're going to marry. Elimelech made that choice. And you need to determine who you're going to spend your time around, or who you're going to allow in the circle or sphere of your friendships and relationships. And I think that Elimelech did that. There's choices. Elimelech and Naomi made a choice to have children. They made a choice to leave Bethlehem. They made a choice to go to a place that they knew that God said was cursed, God's washpot. And so they made a lot of choices. When they got to Moab, their sons made choices to marry women of Moab. You could just go on and on and on. Even when you get down to where after Elimelech and his sons died, Naomi made a choice after she had heard that God had visited Bethlehem, Judah, his people again. She made a choice to go back. That was her choice. You get to make choices. I get to make choices. Just be careful of the choices that you make. Be very careful of the choices that you make. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible just for a moment, and I want you to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, and I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 30, and I want to show you a scripture about choice. A scripture about choice. There's something that all of us need to understand. When I was a younger man, I didn't get this, okay? The fact that God has made me a person with a free will that I could choose, that brings moral responsibility to my life. It brings personal accountability to my life. I'm glad for the day that I realized this. I'm glad for the day that I realized because I have the ability and the power to choose, I'm responsible for the choices that I make. And I tell you, you are too. You are too. And so there's a responsibility with choices. There's an accountability of the choices that we make. God says in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, are you there? Look if you would. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, look in verse number 19. God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. I want to stop right there. So he said, you get to choose. Okay, you get to choose. Now he tells you what you should choose. And oftentimes, almost all the time, God will tell us what to choose. This is what you ought to do. But God will not make you make that choice. And so decisions. Let's read the rest of this. He said, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. And so as we go back to the book of Ruth, we see this thing about willing choice. You're free to choose. You get to make decisions. Often when we have young folks say, well, I can't wait till I get out. You know, I'm going to start doing what I want to do, and I want to live the way I want to live, and I'm going to make decisions based on what I want to do. Well, you know what? That'll come soon enough. That'll come soon enough. You just be careful now. You just be careful that you understand that choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So first of all, you're free to choose. Second of all, you are not free not to choose. You say, what does that mean? That means that you say, well, I'm not going to make a choice. You just did. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people about receiving Christ. And I say, well, I'm not ready to make that decision. You just did. So you see, you think, well, you know, I won't make a choice. You just did. You have to understand this. Saying you're not going to choose is a choice. And so you need to understand, while we are free to choose, we are not free not to choose. You have to make a choice. If you choose to receive Jesus, you've made the choice to receive him. However, if you say, I'm not going to choose, you have just chosen to reject him. That is life. That is life. And you have to understand this about choices. So there is the principle of free choice. As far as you are free to choose, you are not free not to choose. Jesus said, he that is not with me is what? Against me. All right? So you say, well, I'm not for or against him. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I'm not for or against this. Yes, you are. And so while we are free to choose, we are not free not to choose. And then another thing that we need to understand is we are not free to choose our consequences. You say, I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to choose the consequences of that choice. You do not get to do that. Please listen to me. I would hope no one would be this foolish, but if you decide, I'm going to step out into oncoming traffic, that's a poor choice. I don't know what's going to happen if you do that. Neither do you. You see, you don't get to choose what the consequence is going to be. You might survive it, you might not. You don't get to make that choice. Can I tell you, that's making choices is that way. I read this story, and I just, there's no way that you would convince me that Elimelech had any idea that what was going to happen to him and his family was going to happen. He didn't get to choose the consequences. He made the choice to go to Moab, but he didn't get to choose that his sons were going to marry daughters there and that him and his sons were going to die there. He didn't get to make that choice. The choice to go there made that choice for him. Did you get what I just said? Sometimes when you choose, the choice that you've made now takes over making the choice of the consequences that's going to come from that choice. And so when I look at this, the book of Ruth, it just reminds me the importance of decision. I think that we spend so little time thinking about the decisions that we make, and it's almost like we're in some kind of casino just rolling the dice. You know, we're going to see what happens here. We're just going to try our luck. Luck. We don't believe in luck, do we? Chance. Rather, we believe in purpose. We believe in sovereignty. We believe in providence. We believe in free will. We believe the Bible. We believe that when we make a choice, that there's going to be a consequence. We don't get to decide the consequence, though we do get to decide the choice. I hope that you understand that. You say, that's simple, preacher. Yeah, I know. But it's very important. It's very important. And so you're free to make the choice. You're not free not to choose. You are not free to choose the consequences of your choice. So be very careful. Final thing about decisions and choice on this willing to choose. I'm just going to give you a few things. I'm not going to be long tonight, I don't think. Big choices help take care of small choices. If we're not careful, we will be cumbered with all the choices and decisions that you have to make. Let me give you just an illustration. How many of you, and if you don't raise your hand here, especially as a married couple, but it's probably more than that, how many of you say, you know what, we're going to go out to eat? And so you jump in the car, and someone says, where do you want to eat? You know what comes next? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? Well, I don't care. Where do you want to eat? Well, it doesn't matter to me. What do you have a taste for? Well, I don't know. What do you have a taste for? Yeah. Yeah. That's not a problem I have. I can tell you that right now. So you just go through all the, and you're driving, you're thinking, hey, we're coming up on some places here. You know, where are we going to eat? Well, I don't know. Well, we're coming up on some places. We're going to have to make a decision soon. Just a bunch of choices within a choice. You made a choice to go eat. And now there's all these little choices. Well, where? Well, what? And then it gets taken care of. Here's another scenario. This takes care of it. Somebody calls you up and says, hey, y'all come over to the house and eat. Bingo, done. We know where we're going. We don't have to talk about what we're going to have, right? See, big choices can be made that way. Let me just bring it down to on a Christian level. If you're saved in the grace of God, you should have already been to an altar somewhere and presented your body as a living sacrifice to God Almighty and said, God, I belong to you. I'm going to serve you with my life. And that way, you do not have to make a choice about every little thing that comes along. I'm not going to watch that. Why? Because that's not pleasing to God. I presented my eyes to God, and God doesn't want me looking on that. That's why. You got to say, well, no, should I? Should I not? Should I? Should I not? You know you shouldn't. And if you've presented your body, it's done. Amen. Someone offers you something, and you just know. Listen, it could be in the form of a drug. It could be in the form of a drink. And then, you know, well, should I? Should yeah, you're a Christian. No. There's just some big choices that take care of a lot of small choices. Can I tell you something that my family, from the time that Sharon and I were married and we grew in the Lord, we never got up on Sunday morning and rolled over and looked at each other and said, we're going to Sunday school today? Hey, that choice was made. That choice was made. We don't sit around and talk about if we're going to go to church. I'm not fussing at anyone. I'm not trying to be smart at it. I'm just telling you, if you'll make some large choices in your life, then it'll take care of a lot of small things that you won't have to just fret with every day of your life. If you will come to the conclusion, I'm saved in the grace of God, and I'm going to live like a Christian, I'm going to serve God with my life, amen, I'm not going to forsake the assembling of myself, I'm not going to rob God of his tithe, I'm going to witness to people, I'm going to give me some tracts, and when God prompts me and I have an opportunity, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus, this just takes care of a lot of stuff. But when you don't do that, and you just fly, as they say, by the seat of your britches, and you just kind of, well, you know, I'm off, I'm on, I'm hot, I'm cold, I might not. Hey, it's just, you're just cumbered about with all of these thoughts and all of these decisions. When if you just come down and present your body a living sacrifice and say, God, I'm yours, use me. I want to serve you with my life. A lot of choices just got taken care of right there. Amen? So, let's recap before we move to number two. Number one, we have free will. And we get to choose. We're free to choose, but we're not free not to choose. And we do not get to choose, we're not free to choose the consequences of our choices. So choose carefully. And then finally, big choices can take care of a lot of small choices. All right? Now, something else I see right here in the book of Ruth is not just the will to choose, but I see some wrong choices. And I want to point a few of them out, and hopefully you will avoid these wrong choices in your life. All right? Wrong choices. Let's look at the cause of a bad choice. Look, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 1. Now, it came to pass. I'm making practical application. All right? When you read the scripture, you look at how God's speaking to you, and there's no way you can read chapter number 1, really the entire book of Ruth, but chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth without saying, you know what, this book is about people making some important decisions here. I mean, there's some very important decisions in the book of Ruth. I believe in many books of the Bible, but this book of Ruth is just filled with some really tough decisions, important decisions. So, the freedom to choose. Now we're going to look at the wrong choice, okay? The problems of wrong choice. What caused this problem? Look, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 1. Came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. We know, hey, those are dark days, right? Every man did that was right in his own eyes. We looked at that, remember? I mean, it was bad time. Dark. Dark economically. Dark socially. Dark spiritually. Just a dark day in Israel. In that day, in that time period, the Bible says there was a famine in the land. All right? So now here, as I see in the scripture, is the cause of a bad choice that started like a chain reaction of choices. Not all of them were bad, as we shall see in just a moment, but a bad choice. Number one, and I hope you'll get this, the bad choice is made because of the wrong motive. Notice, if you would, what the scripture says. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. What's wrong with that picture? What can I learn from this? God said, don't go there. Just because something bad is happening in your life or something's not favorable doesn't give us an excuse to go against the clear teaching of the Word of God. Brethren, you cannot put the material or the physical before the spiritual. And that is exactly what Elimelech did. He made a choice. He made a choice to put the material or the physical before the spiritual. You ever done that? I have. Not proud of it, but I've done it. You know what David said in Psalm 37, verse 25? This may not be word perfect, but I'm going to get close here. He said, you know what? I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread? Can I tell you, Elimelech knew that? He lived in the town of the house of bread. Elimelech had been provided for. God had taken care of him. Why would God quit taking care of you? God's going to take care of you, brethren. Amen. God's going to take care of us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe Elimelech, though he may not have known Matthew 6:33, I believe he knew the principle. And yet he chose the physical, he chose the material over the spiritual. That's how you start making bad choices. Okay? Look at the second thing that we see here. Not only was there just this wrong motive, and by the way, we don't like to hear this. God's not going to take second place. Somehow we've got this thought in our mind, well, God, you know, God bless me anyhow. I'm going to, directly against what you teach. I'm going down to Moab, but God bless me anyhow. It doesn't work that way, brethren. It doesn't work that way. I know what you said. I've read it in your book. I've heard the preacher preach it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And God, I still expect you to bless me. Well, listen, I've got some news for you. Your expectations are unreasonable, and it's not going to come to pass. God doesn't bless sin. Amen. And rebellion. He just doesn't. And it doesn't matter if it's from you or from me. God's not going to bless when we directly go against a clear teaching in his word. So, second thing that I see here, not only was there the wrong motive, but there was the wrong method. Notice, if you would, what the scripture teaches here. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, Bethlehem, Judah, verse number 1, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of that man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and then it tells the name of his sons, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, verse number 2, and they came into the country of Moab, and they continued that. So what's happening here? Well, as we shall see, the famine had not even affected this family yet. So how do you know that? Well, just turn over just if you would in verse number, I think it's verse number 21, it is. Naomi said, I went out full. She said, I went out full. See, not only was this wrong choice based off of looking at the material and not the spiritual, but he was walking by sight and not by faith, right? It hadn't affected him yet. He just heard, hey, there's a famine in the land. The price of eggs is going up, right? Amen. Yeah, that hit somebody. That hit them hard. I tell you right now, it's starting to hit us hard at our house too. We got to get us some chicks. Amen. Amen. So, our decisions, it's just really important, brethren. We have to stay biblically minded. There's never an excuse to go off the rails. Here's a man who made poor decisions. He made poor choices, and it was just directly against, I believe, things that he knew better than. And there's just no excuse for this. And it gets us in trouble. And sometimes we thought, I don't care. Well, you better start caring. Because they had three funerals down in Moab. Don't you think now that the judgment of God can't find your address? I'm being just as straightforward as I know how to be here. We have gotten to this thing in our lives where we think God owes us something. Brethren, I'm glad God doesn't give me what he owes me. And so here's a man who made some bad choices, and the cause of them is because he put the physical and the material before the spiritual. He walked by sight and not by faith, and then he went to enemy territory and was expecting God to bless him in enemy territory, in enemy environment, in a place that was under a curse that God said was his washpot. You know, you might not look at it this way, but really, it's almost as if Elimelech was just saying, God, I don't care. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I expect you to take care of me. Now listen, children of God, God loves you, and God will take care of you. And I don't think there's any one of us in the congregation tonight that could stand or step forward and say, I'm here to tell you, God hasn't met every need and God has not taken care of me. God has been very good to us, far better than we deserve. Amen. 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 But now let's not presume upon the grace of God here. And let's not forget, let's don't have a God of our own making, a God of our mind. God is a God of the Scripture. God is who he says he is in his word. And he's a God who changes not. And so God is not who you or I want to make him to be. God is who he is. And that's who he's going to stay. And so let's make our decisions based on who God is and not who we have made him to be in our own way of thinking. God's not a genie in the bottle, brethren. Amen. And so decisions, please. It's very important to understand it. So poor choices, wrong choices. So we've seen the cause of them. I'm about through. Let's look at the consequences of them. Well, verse number 3 says, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. I'm not saying that every poor choice that you make or I make is going to bring forth death. I just want you to know, though, that there are consequences to poor choices, and sometimes they are severe. And that's why, and this is for everyone, it's not just for young folks. Young folks, I hope you'll listen, though, okay? And all of us need to hear this. All of us need to hear this. Weigh your choices. Consider your decisions. Understand that there are consequences attached to every choice that you make. And so just choose wisely. Choose wisely. Choose scripturally. You can never go wrong by going with God. All right? And so there's death, there's devastation. The scripture says not only in verse number 3 that did Elimelech die. Look at verse number 4. His two sons that was left after he died, they took them wives of Moab. Here was a consequence of a bad decision. Elimelech took his family down there, and now his two sons have chosen to marry of the country of Moab, the country that God said, I don't want them in the camp. I don't want the people in the camp. They're cursed. It's my washpot. You know, can I tell you as a pastor something that I've seen a lot? I've seen God get in a family just enough. I've seen temptation, Satan, get into a family just enough to alter the training of their children until their family's a mess, and then step back and almost laugh while they're trying to put the pieces together. Don't you let that happen to you. Please. Stay focused. Understand that your decision affects other people, mainly your children. Understand that. I think we all as parents have made decisions that we know was not the wisest decision, not only for us, but for our children. My decisions affect other people. Your decisions affect other people. That's why it's really, really important to think things through. Amen? Now, that's on the bad side. I want to flip to the good and I'll be through. I'm glad that our good decisions impact people too, aren't you? Well, we go to we move from the choice to the wrong choices to the right choices. Let's look at the wise choices that are made. Look in chapter number 1 and verse number 7, and I'll just give you a couple of these, okay? Just a couple of truths out of here that kind of jumped out at me. And verse number 6, the Bible says that after verse 5, after the two sons died, now here's three widows, you know? I find it interesting that the very thing that Elimelech thought he was running from, he ran to. He thought, I've got to preserve my family. Can I tell you, God will do that if you'll trust Him. You won't have to take that on yourself. God will take care of your family if you'll trust Him. Amen. Say amen with me, brethren. Come on now. You know what I'm saying, so. God will take care of you and your family if you'll trust Him. But now if you set out to where you think, I've got to do this, well, you might find yourself on the wrong end of a bad situation. All right? So you get to verse number 5, and Mahlon and Chilion, they die, and there's three women left. And then verse number 6 says, she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. And this is one of the just sweetest little phrases in all the book of Ruth. For she had heard. Amen. Thank God for the day you hear. Amen. God is blessing some people. I want to get over there where God's blessing some people. And she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. You know, I wish the people in the Moabs around Madison County here would hear how God's blessing people here. And they will if you'll share it. Can I tell you, if you'll live like God's blessing you, the people around you will hear. God's doing something down there at Fellowship Baptist Church. Amen. That's right. Now, you got to get excited about it, right? You can't say, well, you know, our preacher, he this, he that, or that person who sits in front of me at church, or that family. Hey, God, listen, God's not going to bless that. God's not going to bless you for that. But if you'll get excited about what God's doing in your life, and many of you are, and you'll get excited about what God's doing at this church, and many of you are, it's obvious you're here on a Sunday night, then the word will get out. And people start, you know, they'll hear. She heard, right? She heard. God was blessing. God was moving. Something was happening. People were getting fed. And then the scripture says in verse number 7, wherefore she went forth out of that place to where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land. That's a good decision. If you've gotten away, you need to get back. Here's a good decision. We talked about some bad decisions. Here's a good choice. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone that has gotten away. Can I tell you, you need to make the choice to get back. You say, well, I'm in church. You can get away and still be in church. Amen. You know now. You know. Only you know. Maybe someone watching by live stream. I don't know. But if you've gotten away, just get back. Just get back. You know where you need to be. And I'm just going to challenge you to find you a place. It may be this altar tonight and say, God, I'm sorry. I've wandered. And I want to come back. I want to return. And I want to get back to the place of the blessing in my life. All right? Verse number 8 says that Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, she said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to your mother's house. You know the story. We went over it. And the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. What an emotional time this is. Now, I want you to watch what happens here. We've got two very important people getting ready to make some really, really important decisions. All right? I mean, like, life-changing decisions. One of them changed our life. Amen. Ruth's decision not only changed her life, it changed my life. Amen. That's right. She got in the ancestry of the Lord Jesus. That's right. The house of Jesse. Praise the Lord. It's amazing when we make decisions that are this monumental, how it's far-reaching, brethren. It's just far-reaching. You never know. When you make a decision, who all it's going to reach. You just never know whose life it's going to touch. And the scripture says here that they wept. And then she said in verse number 10, they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Now I think that's interesting. After they lifted up their voice and wept, they said unto her, they said, we're going to go back. But then one of them,
Watch what happens in verse number 11. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight and you say, you know what? I need to get back. I need something going on. I need to get back. There's some things I need to do in my life. I need to get back to some things, or I need to return to some things, and I'm determined to do that. Maybe you shed a tear or two about it in the past, and you got emotional about it. But it's going to take more than a kisser. It's going to take a cleaver. I want you to watch what happens here. These kisses are emotional, but those cleaving, that's a commitment. Amen. I mean, that's a determination. And I see the difference in Orpah, and I see the difference in Ruth when it comes to this. The Bible says in verse number 11, when Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? And they have this dialogue until it comes into verse number 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. I mean, just listen, this is just an emotional situation here. And they're just weeping, and they're talking and saying, we want to go with you. And Ruth said, and Naomi said, no, you just go back. Oh, we want to go with you. And then it comes down to decision time. You know, like life is. You can talk about it only for so long, then you've got to make a decision. And it came down to decision time in verse number 14, and it says, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Amen. Ruth said, I'm not going anywhere. I've made up my mind. I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you because I want your God to be my God. I want what's right. I want the blessing on my life. No doubt she had heard that God had visited the people back in the homeland again. And she said, I want to go to the place of the blessing. I want to be in the place where the God of heaven will bless my life, and I am not going to stay here in this cursed land while you go back to that place of blessing. I'm going with you. And the scripture says, and I'll close here, the scripture said in verse number 15, she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone. Orpah went back, the kisser, the emotional one, just the one that gets emotional. God's not looking for kissers. He's looking for cleavers. Say amen with me now. People that'll be committed. I want you to notice how committed Ruth was, and then this is where we'll close. When you make a wise decision, the devil will do everything in his power to get you to change your mind or that decision. He does not want you to follow through with it. And so if you've made a decision, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pass out more tracts. I'm going to witness to more people. I'm going to serve God to a greater capacity. Whatever spiritual decision you've made in your life to do, don't you let the enemy talk you out of it. Because I'm here to tell you, he will try. Listen to me now, he'll try. You're here and you say, preacher, I haven't been where I ought to be, but I've really been thinking about this. God's been dealing with me, and I'm going to serve God with my life. And then the devil will come along and he'll say, well, you know, you don't need to get too excited now. You don't need to get too in. You can just kind of follow from afar. No, listen, if you have made a commitment that you're going to serve God with your life. There's nothing greater you could do with your life than to serve God with it. And so he said here, Ruth said, in verse number 16, she said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. And then she gives this, and we'll come back to this at another time because our time is up. But she said, entreat me. She said, this is something I want. I'm not doing it because you want me to. I'm not doing it because of my condition or this or that. I've made a decision in my heart that being with you and being with your God and being with your people and being in your land is the place for me. Thank God for that decision. Verse 18 says, and when she saw, when Naomi, look at this. This is the clincher. This is the cleaver. When Naomi saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded. I like that. To go with her. She left speaking unto her. She said, Ruth's determined. Ruth's not acting on emotion. Ruth has got this thing settled in her heart. Amen. She's going. She is steadfastly minded. How about you? Decisions. They're important. Well, I think you know how that decision turned out for Ruth. She got to sleep at the feet of Boaz. She ended up in his field, as her hap would be. She collected handful of purpose, and she had more than enough. Her need was met, and she was purchased by her kinsman redeemer. Her decision was a good one, and it reaped continual dividends. How about you? Let's stand to our feet.